Today's Old Testament lesson comes from Habakkuk chapter 1, 1 through 4, and chapter 2, 1 through 4. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgment comes forth perverted. And God's reply, I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith.
The New Testament reading comes to us today from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 20. And it is a remarkable contrast to what we heard in the Habakkuk. So listen now for God's word to God's people. Jesus raised his eyes to his disciples and said, "Happy are you who are poor, because God's kingdom is yours. Happy are you who hunger now, because you will be satisfied. Happy are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Happy are you when people hate you, reject you, insult you, and condemn your name as evil because of the human one. Rejoice when that happens. Leap for joy because you have a great reward in heaven. Their ancestors did the same thing to the prophets. But how terrible for you who are rich, because you have already received your comfort. How terrible for you who have plenty now, because you will be hungry. How terrible for you who laugh now, because you will mourn and weep. How terrible for you when all speak well of you. The ancestors did the same things to false prophets. But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So, I wasn't with you last week and I missed you. But last Sunday afternoon, I was close by. Actually, I drove over to Columbus, where I visited the synagogue that belongs to Congregation Tifereth Israel. There, with several hundred others from various faith backgrounds, I remembered the people who had been killed a year earlier at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. Now, this was not an ordinary service for the dead. No, it was actually a concert performed by several groups, the Jewish Community Choir, an octet from the First Congregational Church there in Columbus, the cantor of the Asadiq Islamic Center of Columbus, yes, they were represented, as was the public schools. The Fort Hays Choir High School was there, and the New Faith Baptist Church, directed by Sister Pearline Bird. At first, the mood was somber. The space was filled with sadness as we heard the names and saw the photos of each one of the 11 persons killed that fateful day in Pittsburgh. And while the minor tones of the Jewish hymns echoed in our hearts, the words spoken in the first half of Habakkuk's reading for today clanked around in my head. He said, "Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise." I wanted to sink down into my seat and cry. For I do not understand this ongoing violence and hatred. And then the congregational choir, actually the octet, came forward. And they swept me to a higher place, a place where I could, on the horizon, see a glimmer of hope. And I remembered Jesus' blessing of those who wept on that October day a year ago and now dared to hope that they would find laughter again. And I wondered, were those who were killed saints? Now, we used to think of saints as perfect heroes, people who never, ever acted badly or spoke with vitriol. We think of them as holy, don't we? But I suspect that the 11 who were killed were fairly ordinary human beings, people who tried to live out their faith in God, but who, like us, had their ups and their downs. Which brings us to today's reading from Luke. It's an interesting choice, full of big words and concepts. But how does it relate to All Saints' Day? I mean, here Jesus says the poor and the hungry are happy, and terrible things are going to happen to the rich. In the NIV and the NRSV, it says, woe. Woe be to the rich. Does Jesus want his listeners to know that only the destitute can become saints? Are these folks supposed to be happy because they will be saints? Quite honestly, the word happy, as we discussed this morning in confirmation, and as is written in the Common English Bible version that I read today, makes very little sense to me. Happy is a term that names a fleeting condition. We are not happy for a long period of time. It's over like that, right? For instance, if you'd found a $20 bill in your back pocket unexpectedly, you'd be pretty happy, right? Or if an old friend called you and said, hi, I've missed you, even though you hadn't talked in a while, that would make you happy. And here, Jesus is suggesting that life will change for the better for a much longer period of time. Now, we could exchange the word happy for the word blessed. But as those of you who remember Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye said something about it's hard to feel happy or blessed when you're struggling against poverty. So if we looked at the Greek word that Luke originally put down for this happy or blessed condition, we'd see another way of understanding his meaning. The word he chose was used to convey the idea that in God's kingdom, people would be unburdened of their problems and their hungers would be satisfied. He's saying that their condition will be relieved. Jesus is affirming that God has and will always take on the plight of the underdog, those who cannot feed themselves, those who are left behind by society. And you have to think about how many people Jesus fed and healed over time. How often did he share a meal with the area's low-life people or minister to those burdened by grief? Hundreds, if not thousands. But are all those folks destined for sainthood? Not exactly. Let's sit with that for a minute and tackle another brain teaser. Are we supposed to turn up our noses to every rich person we meet? Not exactly. As with the blessed, happy puzzle, woe, the word woe, is easily misunderstood. Woe isn't so much about being cursed or unhappy or doomed, and yes, I am disagreeing with the common English Bible's translation of terrible, because woe, which I tend to think is a better interpretation of the Greek, means something like, watch out, be careful. True, the prosperous members of the community did not want anything to do with the poor. Those folks were in control of their lives. They wanted to enjoy what they'd earn, take care of their families, and, yeah, eat very well. They'd worked hard to fatten up their purses and their sense of security with their lives. So acknowledging the hungry, the persecuted, the sick, well, that would bring on the sense of vulnerability, as if life hangs by a single silken thread. It's easy to worry that if something terrible could happen to Joe, it could happen to me too. So Jesus is inviting everyone to face their fears, to turn around and face God by facing the least of these. He even presses the rich to do more. He says, give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. As most of us know, giving to beggars is not an easy thing to do. So many questions float up inside of our heads. Things like, is that guy really truthful? Does he really need to drive to wherever to care for his sick mother? Or is he scamming me? Will he just use the money for drugs? And there it is. Not everyone who is poor truly is. There are a good number of liars, cheats, and thieves among them. But the same is true of the rich. And truth be told, the same is true with people like you and me in the same socioeconomic straits that we live in today. None of us are perfect. And that includes the 11 who were gunned down in Pittsburgh that fateful Saturday. You see, the poor are not necessarily more pious than the rest of the world, and the prosperous are not all self-centered. Indeed, there are very few Mother Teresa's or Francis's of Assisi floating around in the world. Yet here is Jesus, reminding us all of God's way of ruling the world by inviting us all to join in his holy venture. He knows that at least spiritually, we are all poor and need to feel hope. He knows, too, that following his way of life can be very challenging. Worldly folks will smirk at us, tell us we're crazy, and praying for those who stand in the way of good, for those who shoot people that they've never met, will take a great deal of fortitude and trust in the wisdom and the goodness of God. You know, this story of Luke's did not actually happen on top of a mountain. That's the one that's set in Matthew. This one, Luke tells us that Jesus was on the plain. And if you look around here in Muskingum County, you can quickly see the difference, right? While the hills climb ruggedly into the sky, The plains that are near the river are relatively level. Jesus' sermon could well be encouraging us to discover ways to level the ground between people. Jesus invites those who would hear him to find space in our hearts to honor all people, both prosperous and poor, prayerful and provoking alike. All Saints' Day is celebrated not to proclaim that anyone, rich or poor or in between, are the only perfect ones, the only holy ones who are blessed by God. You see, we all stand on level ground in God's sight. We are all blessed. We are all warned. And at death, the prayer is the same for the most pious ones amongst us, as well as those who are regarded as rascals. All are commended to God as lambs of your own flock and sinners of your redeeming. When we remember these imperfect lambs who have gone before us, we need to remember that, like us, they tried to follow Jesus' words. They tried to love their enemies and did unto others as they would have done to themselves. And succeed or fail as they might, God loves them. God loves them. So, after the first congregational octet moved us towards hope's glow, the Baptist choir got up. And Sister Perlene, led her choir in an amazing rendition of Hallelujah, Salvation, and Glory. And the whole congregation, all who were assembled, was lifted up onto our feet from the depths of sadness to praise God too. We were standing by the end of it, I kid you not. But when their director sang her heart out to Jesus in a solo, "Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, to me," everyone understood that God's holy work was at work in all of us to transform our hearts in the face of hatred and death. Habakkuk said, "Destruction and violence are before us. Strife and contention arise. Yet our Lord is faithful to all who hear his voice." In fact, God wants to redeem the world from evil. And God commanded Habakkuk to write down God's vision of hope. Write it on a tablet in such large letters that someone running a race could see it far away. And God's vision is simple. The words could well be those Jesus speaks four verses later in Luke's gospel. He said, "Love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of Most High. For God is kind to even the ungrateful and the wicked." Such wonderful words of life for all the saints. from every time and every place, including here and now. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you please rise as you are able and say with me the words of our faith, the words that remind us who we are. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our Son. Will all the elders who are serving please sit on one side together, all together over there. Yes, thank you. And would the congregation please note in your bulletins that during the great prayer of thanksgiving, you will be given an opportunity to lift your voices in praise. I've listed the words that will cue you to that moment. The psalmist declares, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are all those who find refuge in God." Let us present to God our lives and our offerings, grateful for the gifts we have been given. My friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. Men and women, youth, girls and boys, all come. The scriptures say that they will come from north and south and east and west to sit at table in the kingdom of God. This is the Lord's table. It is not a Presbyterian table. It is not our home kitchen table. It is God's table. And all are welcome here. Christ our Lord invites those who love him to come to the feast which he has prepared. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for the gift of creation and especially the gift of life. We are grateful that you have made us in your image and that you pardon us when we act as though you have no authority over our lives. We are grateful that you sustain us in your great love. Just as you have sustained those who have now joined the church triumphant, including Nancy Wright, Gretchen Bennett, Jim Ardrey, Lauren Manili, and George Ware. And so, with all your people, with angels and archangels and with all the saints in the company of heaven. We praise your glory and glorify your glorious name, joining our voices in the eternal hymn saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God, and blessed is your Son, Jesus the Christ, who was born of Mary and shared the joys and sorrows of the life that we now know. You anointed Jesus with your Spirit to preach good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and give sight to the blind and liberate the oppressed, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. Therefore, we remember that in his baptism, suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church and made a new covenant with us by water and Spirit. O Lord, we give you thanks that on the night of his arrest, the Lord took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant for you, sealed in my blood that has been shed. Whenever you drink this, do so in memory of me. Whenever we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we do so proclaiming the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord, who will yet come again. Remembering the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and wine, O Lord, and we joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make us one with Christ, one with our neighbors, and one in the service to the world. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the words Jesus first taught. Our Father, who art together, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. These are God's gifts for God's people. Let us celebrate and say thanks be to God. always room for you, Charlene, at the table. Bread of life. This is the bread of life. Anna, the bread of life broken for you. The bread of life, Melissa. Joe. This is the bread of life broken for you. Take and eat. This is the cup of salvation, of Christ's blood that has been shed for you. Take and drink of it, all of you. Let us pray. Merciful God, we give thanks that you have invited us to your table. We give thanks that you have received us as members of the body of Christ and have affirmed us as a community of faith. Lead us to live as faithful and dedicated disciples in service to all the world. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us sing the closing hymn together. Amen. Friends, go out in the world in peace. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Do not fear violence. Turn the other cheek. Do unto others that you would have them do to you. Honor all people. And go out knowing that you do not go alone, but that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit goes with each and every one of you this day and always. Amen and amen.